He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Take two.
You're not supposed to tell everybody it's take two. As far as they're concerned, this is the first take.
There's like 30 people watching the show on Ustream. They know it wasn't.
But everybody on YouTube doesn't know, man. It's the veil of, you know, whatever. Anyway.
All right.
What's your name again?
My name.
Yeah. This is supposed to be like the real start of the show now. You're supposed to do, you know, the thing, the intro.
Hey, 92 episodes, they can't all be perfect. Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop.
Nice try. Okay. I know you tried to trip me up there, but you couldn't do it.
No, I didn't. I had just the right cadence. Anyway, so. it is our monthly Google Hangout, and Google is just playing all sorts of wacky games tonight. Along with Ustream.
Yeah, Ustream wanted to play in with play too and crash, you know, during the first part of the show.
I know.
And, so here we are.
But we've got a bunch of great people with us. Anthony Gettig is in there somewhere. And
hi.
Oh, there he is. Okay, you took care of your kids, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, duct tape. We're good to go.
There you go.
It works wonders.
That's right. And, of course, we have Steve Tardio is over here somewhere. Say hello, Steve.
Hello.
All right.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Steve. All right.
Yeah. Steve. Phil Williams, you got to turn your microphone on. In the upper right-hand corner, next to the hang-up phone, there's a gear. Click on that and get your mic on. John, you got your mic on?
Yeah. Can you hear?
Okay, John, yes. John Cavadas. Is that how you pronounce that?
No, but it's close enough.
Cavadas. Cavadas. Okay. Is that a Greek name?
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
Nailed it.
All right. Nailed it. Yeah, that's right. I'm pretty good with ethnic names.
Yes. Let's try Phil again. Hey, Phil.
Phil.
Hey, how are you doing?
All right. There we go.
Sounds good.
All right. You got to get your camera on, too. There you are. All right.
Good. I got everybody's camera.
All right.
And then my camera is just a shot of the Ustream. So everybody that's in Google can see the actual Ustream. Oh, and in reverse, which is even more fun.
Even bizarre more. Mm-hmm. More bizarre.
Yep.
Like dogs are living, you can tell. Yes. Anyway, so what we do in our Google Hangouts, we got a couple of fresh faces here. If you have a question or something you want to talk about, and we can have a nice open discussion about it here in our Hangout, and specifically to voiceover and voiceover technology, since that is which George and I tend to talk about the most. I mean, we talk about other stuff, but, you know. But we don't want to argue, so we just talk about voiceover stuff because we all agree on that.
Exactly.
So it's the best way to define it, anyway. Let's hear a little bit about everybody. Anthony, we've heard from you. We know who you are. We know you're in Kalamazoo.
That's right.
John, where are you from?
Here.
Yeah. John, where are you from?
San Diego, California.
Sunny San Diego, and you are a musician as well as a voice actor.
Well, you can tell, huh?
Yeah, it's a dead giveaway.
I know.
You throw that on there, and it's like, wow.
I know. Well, I used to be.
Oh, okay. Be. All right.
But it's something you can't do as a married man, if you know what I mean.
Trust me, I do. Well, of course, my wife and I just started taking ukulele lessons, so we're actually like encouraging that. But anyway, are you part of the whole San Diego voiceover crowd there community, and you know a bunch of other people there, or are you like a lone wolf?
No, I'm not a lone wolf.
Okay.
I'm a part of it. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, 'cause everybody knows Penny and Jim in San Diego, and they're like the center of the universe, or at least the center of the San Diego universe.
Mm-hmm.
So how long you been doing voiceover?
About over 2 years now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, over 2 years, and still working at it.
You're still here, so you know, you may pass the 2-year hump.
Yeah, I'm still here, still doing it. Still working now at Brain Tracks with Nancy Wolfson at this point.
Mm-hmm. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I'm about halfway through that very intense program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is intense. Yeah, I'll give her that.
Yeah.
And look who else joined us.
Oh, it's amazing. He needs to turn his camera on. There he is. The one, the only, from Sin City.
Woo!
Dave Quervassier, welcome to our hangout. And he froze. Well, all right, well, we'll move on.
Windows. One word, Windows.
I
think we should have a really heated Windows Mac debate tonight. Because we got the right people for it. We got people on both sides of the camp here. I think we could have a really good one.
All right, I have to go get my gun.
how you doing, Dave?
Good. Life's good.
Oh, there we go. Sounds great, man.
All right. Super. All right.
I'm trying to decide which audio to listen to. EWABS, Google Plus.
Once you're in the Hangout, you got to hang up the Ustream or at least mute it.
Just mute it and just watch it and say, oh, look, I'm totally out of sync with that.
It's the classic, you know, calling into the radio show thing.
Yeah. Turn down your radio.
All right, let's talk to
Phil Williams. Phil, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thanks, Dan, for letting me join. I appreciate it. I'm in Gilroy, California, which is a bit south of San Jose.
The garlic capital of the world.
And you're coming in 5x5, my friend.
Yes. Well, that sounds good. Thank you very much. Been doing this for about 2.5 years. Did training with Ann Ganguza and a few other folks like Vanessa Hart and a few others. And everybody kept saying, find your niche. And so I've kind of settled on audiobooks. And that's where I seem to be headed in this direction.
How many have you done so far?
5, and publishing probably 3 more in the next 2 months.
Great. Now, are you working through a major publisher or through ACX?
I did two through ACX, and then Vanessa Hart signed me up to do 2 through her, and then another one came up through ACX. And now I'm going independent and going to be working with hopefully Addison Wesley on 3 more. So.
Fabulous. Great. No, did you do the sports books with Vanessa?
I didn't. I actually did 2 books. They were in the sports categories, I guess. Now I think about it. One was 112 Miles to the Pin, which was extreme golf, which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then there was another one, which is a really oldie, which was A River Never Sleeps, which was written back in the 30s and 40s, and an excellent, excellent book. So those were kind of fun. I think you did one in her stream too, right?
Yeah, I did one on the San Francisco Giants.
There you go.
So, there was a bunch of us that did that project with Vanessa. It was all sports related story books.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a lot of fun. Well, thanks for joining us on the on our hangout tonight.
Thanks
Who else
for
we got? Yes, let's Steve Tardio. Now, remind us again where you are. You're in New York, aren't you?
I'm in New Jersey, working out of New York.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine. I'm having a little mic.
Do you have droopy mic stand syndrome?
Droopy mic stand.
Then you need.
I think I got something for that.
Mike Agra.
Mike Agra. Like that. Love it.
Oh, that's a great one.
I need that. I need some help.
The silver pill.
Viva Mike Agra. I'll do it like that. There we go. That kind of works a little bit. That works
nice.
A little better.
Yeah. Now, what kind of a mount is that you have on that?
This is just a mount that I picked up at Sam Ash, very cheaply.
I mean, not the arm. We know the arm. It's the actual shock mount that you've got your mic. What kind of mic
this
is that?
This mic is a Studio Projects mic.
Ah, okay.
And so that's the stock shock mount that it comes with.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Great mic.
So yeah, it seems to do very well for me. So I've got the shotgun mic in my booth, which is really my closet. But this one seems to be the one I use the most right here in front of me.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have, a 416?
I do.
Okay. Great.
Yes, found that at the Sam Ash. Also, a used one, and I quickly snagged it.
Sweet. Outstanding.
Yes, yes.
I'm seriously thinking of pulling the trigger on that, just so I can have one.
Look on eBay, because there is a Chinese Hong Kong-based supplier who's selling...
I know, they've been punching them out the last couple of weeks.
One of my guys, Graham, got one for like $550.
And, all right, I'll see you later. I'm going on eBay.
We sent the serial number into Chris Courier at Sennheiser-Neumann, and he said it's legit. He said it's from a 2007 lot of microphones that were shipped to the U.S. So whether they're stolen, that we don't know. They could be hot mics. I have no idea. But anyway, Chris said that's a legitimate serial number. So you didn't hear it here, folks. You got that? You did not hear that.
Didn't hear what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Isn't like archived or anything either.
No, it's not on Ustream or YouTube. It's not It's not recorded for ad infinitum. Somebody else popped in, but they popped back out. I think.
Yeah,
that was,
let's see
Larry.
How many people we have in here.
I think that was Larry Hudson.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We got 7. So, I don't think it's kicking people out here.
No, I think Larry was in and came out. And then Johnny.
Excuse me, Dan. This is Phil. I'm going to bump out just for a minute, welcome my wife home, who's been away for a day and a half, and then I'll be right back.
All right, we'll see you in a couple hours.
Yeah. I'm older. It doesn't take that
long. Yeah. Oh, bang, zoom.
Right. Nicely done.
Yeah.
See you in a minute.
All right. This segment brought to you by Mike Agra.
Mike Agra,
yes. I think that's actually going to be a new sponsor.
That'll go somewhere. That's got legs.
It's definitely got some legs. You've come up with Frank and Mike and now Mike Agra.
You're
on a roll there, my friend.
You never know.
Okay, well, why don't we toss out, I think you're absolutely right. Why don't we toss out the question just so we can have some fireworks tonight. Mac, PC, advantages, disadvantages.
Let's go around the horn first and just have a show of hands of who's on which system. Like, who is using which system as their primary studio computer? Not whether you own one or the other, but so who of you is using a Mac as your primary studio day-to-day computer that you do everything on, or most everything?
There's my hand right there.
Okay, so that's, we don't have one of our guys to vote in, so I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. We'll ask Phil when he gets back.
Yeah.
And then Dave, you raise your hand.
We know Dave is a PC guy.
Yeah. I was hoping
use anything else.
I was hoping there'd be more PC people to weigh in, but maybe Phil will come in. Anybody in the chat room, a PC person that wants to weigh in? Speak up.
Susan is.
Anybody else?
Okay.
Any other PC people?
Jerry is a PC, but he's using Ubuntu Linux.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, well.
Oh, look, my time machine is full. Hooray for me. Everybody's getting to see that my time machine's full. Anyway, yeah.
If you had a PC, that wouldn't happen.
Right. If I had a PC, I wouldn't have a backup, so. Oh, no. I want to ask you a few questions, Dave. Are you on Windows 7 or Windows 8?
Windows 7.
We all use this. A lot of us use this thing called Time Machine. It's the built-in backup software that comes on the Mac, and it's just doing incremental backups and it keeps versions and da 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 da. Is there a Windows 7 equivalent that comes with the OS? Do you use something like that to back up your data?
I just use Carbonite on a daily basis. I haven't really looked into whether Windows has a utility like that.
I know there's a Windows backup system. I've used it in the past. But I'm a big fan of the Carbonite type offsite backups. I personally use one called CrashPlan.
I keep a network drive. I keep a 2 terabyte network drive plugged into my Wi-Fi access point so that I can access it from any Wi-Fi anywhere. And I use that as my backup too.
Gotcha. So you've got basically 2 backups. Yeah. You have an on-site in-house backup and you have a cloud backup.
Yep.
Which I think is definitely the smart way to go.
I have 3.
Ooh.
3
for... I take no chance. I used to sell insurance. I have 3.
So you have the original data, and then you have 3 different backups of all that data?
I do. I've got a 3 terabyte hardwired drive.
Mm-hmm.
I have got I have a 3 terabyte drive in the basement that is going through our Wi-Fi that serves as the backup for the entire house. So anybody who wants to save stuff, like my son, who is constantly blowing out PCs, mm-hmm. can always recover his data.
Mm-hmm.
And we can save all our family stuff on there, but I save stuff on there. I have the cloud and I use Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably have 4 or 5, actually. You know,
well,
so.
If you start throwing in all the synchronizing tools like Dropbox, I have at least 5 or 6 cloud systems.
Yeah, me too.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I use SugarSync, Dropbox, SkyDrive.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite, Dave?
I like SkyDrive a lot. Of course, it's an MS product, but man, they've really upped the ante lately and made mm-hmm. it very usable.
I've heard some good stuff about SkyDrive, actually. I'm using SugarSync. Because it's system agnostic, you know, it works on my Android phone. It works everywhere.
Yep.
I'm using Dropbox. I've been using Box.net lately for some specific things, mm-hmm. and also Google Drive. So
Google Drive's hot.
I have a lot of different systems that I'm using. How about you guys? Since it's with only one. Oh, actually, wait a minute, Phil. Are you a PC or a Mac, Phil?
I am a Mac guy from day zero.
Okay, so it's not fair. I don't want to pile up on Dave, you know, because Dave.
I had Dave's a Mac fine. Once. I bought the fanciest MacBook Pro you could buy, and I played with it for a month, and I sold it on eBay. I couldn't figure it out. I'm too indoctrinated into Microsoft.
Yeah, it is a philosophy sort of thing, and a style.
Yeah, it's a state of mind.
Yeah, I've used both. I was not a Mac user from way back in the day, like man, some of you guys. I was a Windows user, used DOS, then Windows 3.1 and all that. And then in college, in college, I had, I was using OS 8 and OS 9 Macs because that's our music lab had. And the divide between Windows and Mac at that time was so wide. You know, that was the era. That was that dark era for Apple when Steve Jobs was creating Next. And
right, yeah.
And the computers I thought were awful. And so my initial impression of Mac just wasn't so great. Plus, my roommate as a freshman had a Mac LC2, I think it was, and I had a 486/33 PC. And he and I were both running CAD software. Well, he would launch the CAD program on his Mac. We'd go to dinner, come back, and it would be loaded, you know? And mine would load it in about 2 minutes or a minute and a half, you know? So my impressions of Mac were not good, you know? But then in 2005 or 2006, I had so many clients here in LA that were Mac. I just had to try it. And I went to the Mac Mini. That was my first Mac. And I was able to wrap my brain around it relatively quickly. But to this day, I still run Windows in a virtual machine, VMware, so that I can use QuickBooks because the Mac version of QuickBooks
sucks.
Is not the same. It's not the same software. It's not good. So,
well, it works for me.
Well, do you use a CPA?
I do use a CPA.
And are they also on Mac?
I believe they are.
Well, that's probably why. If you happen to have the CPAs on a Mac and you're using the same version, then you're probably okay. But it really comes down to who your CPA is, I think, at the end of the day, you know?
Right. I just print stuff out at the end of the year and they go here.
Right.
Go, oh, yeah. You
hey, George,
QuickBooks,
how did things go last night with the meetup? I saw you there last night.
Yeah, I know. You timed it, tuned in. It was rather entertaining to watch the whole thing unfold. It's like I came in there to help out Anne and just be a part of the whole experience. And I wanted to help her out. But really, it was more of a selfish thing because I wanted to see how somebody else was going to pull it off.
Right.
You know, it was more of a morbid curiosity. You know, I was kind of waiting for, you know, something crazy to unfold. And it was pretty much kind of what you might expect. It was a lot of people who were thrusted into a situation. Some of them had experience. Some of them didn't. We had some people had ClearCom headsets. Some people didn't. Mm. It was on 2 floors of the house. We were in the garage producing it, and then it was upstairs where the show was. I mean, it was as close as you're going to get to a TV studio where there's 2 separate areas, and it was really impressive. I mean, considering that most everybody there was there voluntarily. everybody was just pitching in, and we had no rehearsal, no tech run-throughs. I mean, it was just wham, bam, here we go. I'd say it went pretty well. I think there was no major train wrecks throughout
cool.
the whole
Very
night.
Very cool. And I got to give kudos to Ann for, you know, for whipping it all together and getting it going and
yeah.
it very well. And, you know, all in all, I thought it was a pretty neat, neat event.
It was very impressive what she did pull off. I mean, she pulled out all the stops. You know, you could argue that she went a little overboard on some things, but, you know, when people start showing up and saying, I'll help, you know, you want to coordinate everybody. So it really did happen. I mean, the thing was amazing. She really did a time it out like a live show where we had a clock and we had a state of the clock. We had an hour pre-show with all this pre-recorded content that was inserted. And then we were going live to Google Hangouts, live to people at the party, live to the red carpet, because it was literally a red carpet out front of our townhouse. I mean, it was really amazing. I mean, the director, Joe, he had a new system that was based around this video switching system called Blackmagic. It's very elaborate and very high-end. But also, he was very new to the system, and, you know, so there was just so many learning curve things going on, and just watching him get used to the system and kind of settle in, it was just fun. But then, during the actual event, you know, he would forget that he was just doing this freebie, you know, stream to 30 people, he'd start to think he was actually directing a, you know, the Golden Globes or something, because he was going... nuts, you know, like camera two, pan over.
Yeah. Sort of like your control room, Dave. And it was really nuts. I mean, because we were in a hangout, and I'm listening, and I'm like, I'm hearing screaming coming from two different places. I'm like, what the hell is going on there, George? It's like,
yeah, because
like, no, take two. No, wait a second. Are they ready over there?
Because like down the hall, we were like in the garage and the people entered from the ground floor. So there was a corridor of only about 10 feet between the garage and people walking in. So the doors were open, you know, and they were doing hand gestures, but the director who was yelling, and you could clearly hear his voice down the hallway getting
There's
picked
no
up
IFB
by the
system or anything.
Yeah. It was
extra good.
Yes, Larry Hudson, thanks for joining us. Yeah, there was some choice swearing in there too. He was dropping the every bomb you could imagine. I mean, it was just, I was like, oh, I didn't know whether to say something to him or just sit there and just soak it all up and drink it in. You know, it was just.
I don't know how George. I was up there. On the sofa, I was shooting the pictures up there,
yeah.
And I could hear the cursing coming through the headphones.
Right.
Yeah. and there was a lot of cursing going on to me too, to my face, to you know, turn off that flash, you know. And there was a lot of friction going on up there.
There was. I can only imagine. I mean, because I was just hearing it residually from the way the guy was responding or reacting. You know, you were there, Joe. I'm Johnny. We all got this experience from different places, and I'm certainly not going to disparage anybody because pretty much everybody there was working as a volunteer. And
well, I can't believe how quick that came together because I was actually working along with Ann for 2 weeks before, and I was watching this thing develop. And really, this thing developed very last minute. When I say last minute, I mean within just a few days before the event happened.
It went from idea to concept to getting a list of volunteers to pre-show design within, like, what, 5 days?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So.
And they didn't have a string and a can.
No. No, they had, like, 10 strings and 10 cans. Really expensive ones.
It actually came off really well considering the time frame that it was prepared in.
Sure. I mean, you always have the asterisk, you know. But if you watch the actual – once you got to the interview section where it was just sitting down at the couch, it really did look – came off really nicely. The quality, the picture looked great and, you know, it came off really – that's the thing. I hope, you know, you put that much effort into something like that. And the sad thing is what often happens is it's sort of a one-off deal. And who knows if you'll ever do it again, right? Who knows if she'll ever have the same people, the same equipment, you know? And that's the good thing, but that's really the sad thing is because you put all that effort in, and then will it ever happen again? Will you ever be able to do it better next time? Because you're going to have a whole different selection of people involved and different equipment, and you know.
Right. Well, I think the one thing that that you and I learned, because we were in the hangout and sort of observing this chaos together. Mm-hmm. When we first started this show, I mean, we hadn't a clue what on earth we were doing, except that we just started doing it. And right. One of the things we did, and I think this is a good thing for everybody, in our audience, is we took the time. We spent over a month testing our systems and figuring out how it was going to work and trying different things. And, it hasn't been perfect all along, but, this is our 92nd episode and, we get it on the air every week, or at least over the internet every week. Mm-hmm. And getting people from all over the world. We've had people on from China and all sorts of stuff. So, I think if they do it again, I know Anne will get, she'll have it together even more, but I think it was great that she put that together in such a short period of time. And the fact that it was worldwide, we had Ted McAleer, who was in Seville, Spain, who was on with us
at 3 to 4 to 5 in the morning. And his wife was giving him evil eyes, 'cause he was literally sitting in the same room as her trying to sleep.
Probably going to say Spanish. His wife was giving birth.
She may have been by then.
His wife was giving him birth, or I thought he said evil eye. So. Now that would have been dedication.
I was wondering why he was whispering, and then he told us, "Yeah, she's just right over there, and she's giving me crap about it."
Yeah, because it's 4 in the freaking morning.
Yeah.
Well, he says that's when he records, because it's too noisy where he is.
Yeah.
So so he's a night owl, I guess.
It was in the end a lot of fun, and I felt like if a little bit more time, if I had been more involved helping out with audio and things like that, it could have been great. But I also had to measure how much time could I put into this event, this one time thing. Could I really steal away for too much time? So anyway, it was.
I think you did good, George.
Well, I really didn't do a whole heck of a lot. I don't want to take credit for anything. All I really did was hang out in the Google Hangout. I did very
well. Yeah, and the 3-hour drive to get there.
Well, round trip, almost 3 hours, But if she asked me again and I knew there was more preparation and we really had things dialed and it was, not a regular event that we did it once or twice a year, I would help her again, absolutely, But if she wants to do anything like we do, she better she either hit the lottery or simplify. She has to simplify a lot, that's what we have. The advantage we have is it's really simple. I mean, it's complex from the inside the computer box stuff that's going on, but it's two guys, two cameras,
two geeks and a string.
Yeah. And then on Hangouts night, it's a few more of you guys mixed in, but not to downplay, there's been a lot of technical hurdles to leap. You guys have, a lot of you have watched it unfold.
Yeah,
that's why we call it Apollo 13.
Yeah, watch our first episode.
Heck, watch the 50th episode with June, where I spoke, did a monologue with no audio for a good 4 minutes. that was embarrassing.
Those are the good old days. Anyway, we've got you guys with. Are there any other particular topics you wanted to discuss with us tonight? And
well, we're on a home studio master spot. Like a real show.
I have one. I have a question.
Let me run the spot, and then we'll come back and we'll hit that question.
Okay.
Like a real TV show. A teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
All right.
Call it EWABS. Dan and George call it the only way to spend Sunday night.
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
And what did I tell you? I said, you know, my wife's like, come on, we got to go. It starts in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the great thing about not being, you know, in a big metropolitan area. It's 10 minutes to the theater.
Right.
I said, don't worry, they'll show 20 minutes of trailers. We get there 5 minutes after the movie's supposed to start. We still get in there, and there's still 15 minutes of trailers.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, I told you we don't have to hurry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Went to see Oblivion. Great movie.
Really?
Yeah, it was fabulous.
Okay.
It was, I mean, really exciting, lots of great action, and Tom Cruise and the redheaded British gal that was in, they were fabulous. But Tom, he's been great in a lot of good movies. I mean, people think he's pretty weird, but he's a great actor. He really is.
To get my wife to change her mind. She doesn't like him. I don't know what it is. She has some.
She doesn't like action films.
She doesn't. All. Well, that too, probably.
It's not a chest. He's you know. It's but you know we don't love Tom Cruise because he's you know he's right. Mr. Macho. He's it's because he makes great movies.
His
you know,
best action role to date, I think, was oh boy, you can't
Top Gun.
No, yeah, no. I'm thinking
of
Matrix. No, I'm War thinking of a comedy. No, I'm thinking of a comedy.
Oh, Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder.
Awesome. He was so awesome in that. He was great.
Absolutely.
Any of you guys
it
haven't seen
it? It took me a long time to figure out it was him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That
you,
was.
You don't figure it out until the credits. And you go, who the hell was that? Oh, it was Tom Cruise.
And then once you know it's him, it's so obvious. But, like, right. The makeup is so good and the acting, you know, he really did pull that off. It was great.
Yeah, that is a movie you got to see a couple of times.
The fat, hairy arms were the best
fantastic,
on him.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
man.
Really. Anyway, we were going to start talking about some other stuff. Larry Hudson, you had a question about something.
Yeah. So I have a real basic setup. I have two microphones. I have the Studio Project C1, and I have a Sennheiser 416, and I run into an older Focusrite Sapphire 6 USB interface directly into my computer. And I just have a little laptop. It's an Asus, I think it's called.
And you want to upgrade?
And I'm looking to, well, I really, you know, I'm looking to go to Mac and do all that and get a new board and blah, blah, blah. But okay. In the interim, I just keep hearing a lot about using a separate preamp, something, you know, like in essence, I guess it's really a preamp phantom power to really boost the quality of what's coming out of the microphones. So I wanted to just get from you guys if there's something like that that would really make a difference and which one would you might you suggest?
You want to go first on this, or should I swear first?
I'll go first. What the heck?
Okay.
It's a great question, and to me, it really comes down to first of all, how elaborate is your? I mean, if you don't need to do ISDN, right? So if you're not doing ISDN, that means you don't have to take audio from one thing and route it off somewhere else in your studio to another piece of equipment. Take audio from that, bring it back, do all this monitoring and stuff. If you don't need the complexity of all that, and you're satisfied with the, you know, the noise floor of the recording you're getting from your current preamp, you know, it's nice and low noise. You're not getting a buzz. You're not getting too much white noise, all that stuff. To me, it's just not necessary to insert another piece of equipment in there, you know? But there are some cool gadgets out there. Like if you are using a dynamic mic for some reason, those cloud lifters made by Cloud Microphones are amazing. I mean, if you have a dynamic mic or ribbon, nobody's using ribbons, almost nobody, right. But in voiceover. But dynamic mics, if you're using an SM7 or an RE20, the cloud lifter is like a miracle device. And
it looks like this. Here, you can get a shot.
Actually,
let me
get a shot of Dan. It's just a simple box with XLR on two ends, no knobs, nothing. All that thing does is take the input signal, crank it up about 25 dB, and pass it on through, and it does it really clean. But if you're using with a condenser mic, it will not pass phantom power. So,
right.
You know, again, my opinion is if it sounds good, it is good.
Right.
And so how do you know if it sounds good? Well, you bounce it off of people you trust, producers, people like Dan and I. You know, you just have to trust that the sound you're sending out is of quality and it's consistent. And that, I think, is really what's most important at the end of the day. It's not the preamp.
Yeah. And actually, you know, when you mentioned the stuff that you're using a C1, you're using a 416, mm-hmm. and you're using a Sapphire, which mm-hmm. is made by
Focusrite, preamp company.
They make preamps. The preamps in their stuff are excellent. Modern recording technology and the digital interfaces we're using, remember, they're not just digital interfaces, they are also preamps. And Focusrite puts really good preamps into those designed so you don't have to drive it. The other thing is that when you drive something through a preamp and then into another preamp, you're really amplifying, you know, you're trying to keep, you know, the line noise as quiet as possible. Mm. So if you've got even the slightest bit of line noise in there, you know, that's going to be brought up by the preamp, which is going to be pretty quiet, but it's going to be a louder signal sent into your preamp. You're like double amping it. And the idea isn't to get it loud. It's to get it clear.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's one of the problems that you run into with that. Mm-hmm. You know, we tend to discourage people from using channel strips and a lot of front end processing when you're throwing that much amplification in there, you know, and I didn't really realize that until I was talking to the folks at
Personas,
not Personas, the guys who make Apogee. As I get older, the names are coming so much slower because there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. The vice president of Apogee, you know, when we were at a conference, he said, you know, I was using an Apogee one. He goes, are you using a preamp with that? I said, yeah, you know, I've got a Personas Eureka and stuff. He goes, go naked. Excuse me, just go straight with it. And I have not used an external preamp since because, you know, my sound is, it's better to get as clear and clean a sound up front and make any adjustments for, you know, for any deficits or anything you want to adjust, not to enhance, but to make up for any deficits using any post production stuff. Using it in post. Mm-hmm. So you get the clearest, cleanest signal you can up front. Adding an extra preamp into your chain is, you know, that's, it works. It makes it loud. If you're doing really loud stuff, then, you know, that's how I look at it.
I have several clients that are using a Zephyr, you know, some ISDN codec, a foam patch, you know, and then they got an M-Box and a Mackie mixer and a preamp. In many cases, they're going from preamp to mixer to M-Box to computer. Three different preamps in the circuit. And, you know, with just the right settings, you can dial it in to get it pretty low noise. But, you know, it's certainly not a very purist way to go, and it's not the cleanest way you're going to get a good signal. So, you know, I'd say stick with what you're using unless there's a deficit that it's not serving you, and, you know, you may be able to get some help on that.
Yeah. Let me just ask you two questions. One is on the Apogee, Dan.
Yeah.
How is it that you are? Is the Apogee a USB mic?
It is.
Oh, okay, great. All right, then that answers that.
Yeah. No, the Apogee is the Apogee One, which is it's just a digital interface,
right?
That has a, you know, you plug a mic into one end of it, and then the other end is a USB.
Oh, okay.
So it, you know, so you can take a line out from a preamp into it, but the preamp in this little thing, the size of a Tipperillo box, is excellent.
And I was just wondering how you were going naked, you know, because obviously that's how I get my XLR to go into my computer is through my interface.
The interface, mm-hmm. that's what it's for. Yeah.
And then one last one: would you think if I was to upgrade? I mean, do you see any big difference between, say, the 2i2 and my old Sapphire 6 USB FireWire Sapphire, whatever it is.
No, they're probably using the exact same preamp chip.
Okay.
I bet they're identical. In fact, I asked the guy at the show, and when I did my little NAMM show at the Focusrite booth thing, and the guy said, I was expecting him to give me this spiel about the differences. He was like, yeah, we make Sapphire because some people like FireWire, and we make, you know, Scarlet, because some people like USB. That was his answer. I don't know whether it was accurate, you know, or true, but that's what he said. You know, I don't think
regarding the 2i2, there are some. It's a great device. I've had it, but if you're going to use Source Connect, I think it's one of about two or three interfaces known to have issues with that software. So if Source Connect is in your future, you should be aware of that.
Which is probably something that they're working on, but I haven't. I had the Scarlet for a while. I was borrowing it from Bo Weaver, and I was not having trouble. So
I had it, and now for any Source Connect, I have a MicPort Pro. I hook up specifically for Source Connect.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah. No. It's Sapphire makes great stuff, and I'm using a 2i2 now. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you done an A-B between the Apogee and the 2i2, just recording the same source just to see if you really can hear any difference?
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Ones and zeros are ones and zeros. The difference is, you know, I think the technology, only people who are total audiophiles, and I have a quick story to tell about audiophiles, just to entertain people for a second here. Only people who really are like total sticklers can notice a difference. Well, I can hear, you know, like a half dB, you know, it's deficit on, you know, at 125 hertz. I was in the music store yesterday while my son was taking his guitar lesson. And I'm sitting there and there's a magazine there. Stereophile.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I start looking at the ads in this thing and it's all about these guys who were totally into vinyl.
Right, right.
And it's this cross, it's this hybridization of tube amps. These companies are building these huge tube amps.
Yeah,
you know, with the tubes showing up.
Oh yeah, and the tubes have to be out in the open. Otherwise, why would you buy it? Right. You can't see the damn tubes glowing.
Right, and not only that, but they have not analog to digital converters. They have DACs, taking digital audio from a computer, converting it to analog to shove into these tube preamps, and that's what they consider good sound.
Right, geez.
All right.
Yeah, the audiophile thing is a whole nother. That's a whole nother show. Yeah.
Let's not go there. But that's the thing, is that only people who listen on that critical level are going to tell the difference. And I think that most of the people who hire us aren't like that.
They simply aren't.
Sometimes you can tell by the copy. Sometimes you can tell by the end product.
And sometimes you can tell by the paycheck.
That's true.
All
right,
Anthony.
I think that wraps that one up. Yes.
You had questions.
Thank you for questions
from the peanut gallery, Tony.
We did. Anne would like to know, this is kind of an open forum here tonight, what is the most effective marketing method you've found when it comes to voiceover?
Oh, fascinating.
And Doug Turkel chiming in right away. Why isn't Doug in this hangout, by the way?
Doug likes to watch. He's a voyeur.
Come on, Doug. He was invited.
He's a voyeur.
Give us the answers, Doug. Just throw it out there.
Yeah. I guess I could start. I've been doing this a long time, and my methods might be a little bit different than some people. But, you know, I built a lot of it on pay-to-plays. I made a lot of cold calls. I hate making cold calls. I sold life insurance. Do not make cold calls. Unless you really enjoy it, you really like interfacing with people, and you like the methods of how you get around someone's secretary. You can end up really ticking some people off using some of those things. A lot of people like to use mailings, and, you know, Tony, you and I have talked about this one. You know, it's like you were talking about this thing, BombBomb?
You know, BombBomb, video email. It's my secret.
Right. Oh, okay.
Okay, it's out. BombBomb.com.
They were going to catch on sooner or later. You know, but sending out videos and reminding people, going out and look, there is so much business out there. I mean, you just look at the stuff that's coming in on the pay-to-plays and stuff coming in off of Voice Bank. There is tons of stuff out there. Aside from the stuff that's not even being advertised within the marketplace, and that you can go after too. So you try a bunch of different things and see what sticks, you know, because there's so many different types of methods you can use, you know. So I just generally do a lot of reminders to my existing clients. Hey, I'm making my schedule for next month. You know, are you going to be needing me on this date? Well, yes, we might. You know, it just throw reminders to people. You know, if you're just starting out, it's you've got to be a little bit more aggressive, clearly.
Top of mind. Stay top of mind.
Anybody else? It's top of mind.
I've got one.
You guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's that, Larry?
Dan, you're way delayed. Yeah. Dan, you got about a five-second delay. So go ahead, Larry. Go.
Yeah, I'll jump in. So I've been in the business only 3 years. And literally in 3 years, I've done what everybody said it would take me 5 to 7.
Good.
And the number one thing that I've done is I open my mouth and every person I know, meet, acquaint, anything knows what I do. And I'm amazed at where the business has come from. It's the most unlikely spots. It's you know, you can sit in your cave all the time and deal with your pay to play. And I do all that. But the majority, all of my business last year literally came from word of mouth, personal relationship. Somebody I met knew somebody that somebody else I met. It's just been that. So that's my big, big thing to make stuff happen as far as getting a lot of business.
Yeah. Everybody put up their business card. They're all in reverse, but you know, who else has a business card here? You know, it's business cards are important. You always have them with you, which is a stupid thing to say because I never have them with me. Drives me nuts. You know, so I just ordered a Vistaprint. Great. You know, and they'll make it. You want to buy 500 more? Well, it's just 50% off. You know, I mean, it's not business cards are important. Send them out with the mail you send out and things like that. And, you know, Steve, what do you have to say about that?
I have to say I learned one of the greatest lessons from the show, actually, from the great Maurice Tobias, who I've switched agents. I've been doing this about 5 years and I've had two agents, and I've always been the type that's been kind of quiet and waiting for the phone to ring. And I've been very like, you know, waiting for them to call. And I really don't promote myself very much. And I always thought it was because I'd be bothering my agents and they're very, very busy. And they're, oh God, Steve Tardio's on the phone again, or Steve Tardio email again, or something like that. And they're not like that at all. And they're very happy to hear from me. And, when just recently now I with Vistaprint, I did my business cards, and when things got slow for me, things were kind of happened very quickly when I first started, and then things kind of slowed down, and I would write and produce promos like freelance for different like networks and whatnot to kind of help pay the bills. And just recently I landed a freelance gig over at NBC right at 30 Rock. So I do that a few days a week, and I've got my business cards ready to go, letting them know, yes, I do this as a real job, but I do voiceover work. And so everybody, including the woman that hired me, are very, like, oh, this is great. And so I'm hoping that connections are going to happen there. Maurice Tobias said to me, you're a voiceover talent, talk, you know, talk to people and get them to know who you are, because just sitting around waiting for the phone because you want to be nice and you don't want to bother people, that's really great, but you're just going to be basically sitting by the phone and nobody's going to be calling you unless you let it be known out there. So now what I do is something that she told me to do, which was once a week I'll send an email to my agents and saying, hey, I saw this on TV or I heard this on the radio and I thought I would be good for McDonald's, or I'd be good for this. I've had friends that tell me, hey, was that you on a spot? And if it was, Graham, yes, it was. And if it wasn't, I quickly get my agents in an email and I say, hey, somebody thought this sounded like me. Do you have anything coming in that kind of matches this, and let me know? And they're great about it. They're like, oh, as a matter of fact, we do. And then I have an audition like for the next day.
Excellent.
Yes.
Johnny, you have any thoughts on that?
He's going to turn on his mic here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it on. I'm actually multitasking, going through the 700 photos I snapped yesterday.
No problem.
I have a couple of thoughts. Does anyone know what this is?
It's a ukulele.
Ukulele. Okay.
I happen to know that one.
I thought so. Hey, does anyone know what I should do with this thing?
Can sell it to me.
They're on eBay.
What is it? It's at a 127? What is it?
It's a 149.
It's a TLM 149.
A 149, okay.
I called it.
Oh, 49. I'm sorry. Not a
149. TLM 49, yeah.
Yeah.
And why do you have that, Mike?
Well, there's a sales guy named Christopher.
It always starts with a sales guy.
Salesperson, yeah.
No. Let him finish.
Yeah, you know who he is?
Chris Currier.
Yeah, we know who you are. Chris Currier, of course. Yeah.
I know. Well, I don't know. Maybe he should be selling cars. I don't know.
No, I'm just kidding. Nice guy.
I got it because it was recommended for my voice for doing narration or audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm finding myself using the Sennheiser 416 more.
Mm-hmm.
George, are you familiar with this, Mike?
The 49, the TLM 49?
Yeah.
Very unfamiliar, just because of the sheer number of people that I've worked with that don't have it. And it's not because it's a bad mic. It's just because the vast, vast majority of my clients don't have a... What does that thing cost again, Mike?
$1,700.
Yeah, it's out of the price range of many, many, many people. So for that reason, it's just there's so few people using it, and it doesn't make it a bad mic. We have one of the Don LaFontaine VoiceOver Lab also, and I've not had a chance to really play with it that much. The reason why Neumann makes so many mics is because they all sound different. You know, it's like they all have a different voice. So they do have to be matched up. And if you are going to spend $1,000+ on a microphone, you better hope it's the right one for your voice, you know?
Yep.
It's really, you know, if you're just buying your first mic, get the best one you can afford, comfortably afford, you know, $200-$300, even $100. But if you're ready to step it up and you want to make it a real investment, spend it on the best mic, the next level up, you know, make it. You know, it might hurt a little bit, you know, $1,700, but
right.
There's a certain point where it's worth making that investment in your right. studio, your sound.
Right, but it also depends a lot on your studio. You can't have a microphone that's going to expose every little problem that you've got in a home studio. That's why you can't go too high end
right.
until you've got, you know, what is it what I like to say, you know, if you're going to buy a Ferrari, you got to get it in a nice garage.
Right.
So, you know, it's you've got to have, remember, 95% of the quality of your audio is dependent on your acoustical signature. So, yeah. You know, if you get a really good mic and you've got a so-so acoustic situation, it's going to bring it out in spades.
Yep.
And that's the most important thing there. So if you've got a good studio, Dave, what do you think? I'm using
mostly a TLM 103 and a Sennheiser 416.
Two of the usual suspects.
Yeah.
Steve. I like the one. I use that one too. Studio Project C1. That's a great mic for $300. You can't beat it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's great.
What for you determines what mic you use?
Well, I first got my studio set up like you said. I figured it out. Got that controlled and to where I thought it was deadened. And then I started playing with mics and trying different ones. I went to stores and tried them out and bought and sold a couple before I settled into that one. The TLM had been highly recommended by a lot of people that I know and use them and men and women. And when I tried it, I said, that's it. That's the one.
Yep.
You know,
that's what I use.
Yeah, it does depend on your voice. Cause I was using one during a demo. That was one of them. And they turned it off because it wasn't good for my voice. But it is so individual to how you sound coming through it and for what kind of stuff you're doing for voiceover.
And it's so ubiquitous in Hollywood that it goes by the TLM. I mean, the 103, the TLM 103, people shorten it to, they just call it the TLM.
The one.
And then they call the, you know, the Sennheiser the 416, you know.
The Senny.
Yeah, yeah.
How are those... I'm making a little segue here. How are those? Probably not. I mean, they're kind of pricey mics. Probably not ones you want to travel with, are they?
What are we talking about? The TLM 103?
You don't travel with a TLM 103.
I'm not a big fan of traveling with them because I think they're just more delicate in general.
Bob Sauer travels with his 416 everywhere he goes.
The 416
is easier because you can put it in a pool cue, suitcase.
Yeah, 416
is... Don't call it a shotgun mic at TSA. Though.
Right.
Yeah.
The TLM, the 416 is a... The 416 by design is a travel mic. It is a boom mic. It is designed to be on location, on a boom pole, in bad environments and humid. It's designed for that kind of use. So... Yep. It is going to be one of the best travel mics. I know people that travel with 416, even though they may use something different at home, because it just really is a really good travel mic.
And they're great in hotel rooms because you don't get a lot of the ambient sound.
Side rejection. Yeah,
right.
Because I have a great travel case for my shotgun mic right here. You can't really see it because it's all black, but a great travel case that I use all the time.
Do you use it for other stuff other than just the mic?
I do not know. It is totally molded just for the microphone, and it's windscreen also.
Right. Some people shove like a Micport Pro in there with it, because you can fit it in there.
Oh, okay.
It's a pretty good little tube. I'll tell you, the coolest storage unit I've ever seen for a mic is the tube that comes with a Rode NTG3. It is this machined aluminum tube with a screw cap. The only problem is it looks like a pipe bomb. I mean, it really looks like a pipe bomb. I mean, but it is the most, badass storage device I've ever seen. Should we get another break and go do more questions?
You and I are on the same frequency tonight. That's good. Yeah, let's take a little break. We'll be right back, and we'll pick up another subject. And, I think it's time to talk a little bit more about microphones when we get back. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back here on our Google Hangout and eWebs.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
Danny did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Welcome back to eWabs. We were expecting you, but we still didn't bake a cake. Here's Dan and George.
Yes. And wow. We need to go for the reverb there, George. But, it's in tune tonight. That's amazing.
Are we going to play
it's the humidity?
Oh, we're going to Hooky Lau? You know that song? We're going to Hooky. Never mind. Who knows how to play ukulele?
I've had four lessons.
Four more than I've had here.
Okay, well, that went really well.
Have you learned tiptoe through the
ladies village? And gentlemen, the first ever eWabs jam session is right here.
Yes, with you.
Right here, tonight.
Mix in the delay of Google Hangouts, and it's just a train wreck. Even if we knew how to play these things, it would be horrible.
Yeah. My wife came up with a good one. My wife and I are both playing, and we think we'll be the Yuka Leonards.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
That'll work.
Yes.
Nicely done. All right, what else were we talking about?
It's a wishy Sunday night here.
Yeah,
well, we were going to talk about microphones, so I guess that's a good segue to bring our other sponsor in here. Harlan. We got to talk about Harlan Hogan for a second here. He's got a mic that you should try. The VO1A, great price point. Some people say, it's one of those types of mics. What?
Pat says, no, that was bad audio of the week.
Yes, well, if you don't want to have bad audio of the week, Right. Go on over to VoiceOver Essentials and check out the Harlan Hogan Signature Series VO1A, because it actually is a great microphone. It's really designed for voiceover. He looked at some of the folks at the company where he had those made, and everybody knows what company made it, and said, no, it's got to have a little bit more of this, and it's got to be at a good price point so that everybody can use it and everybody sounds good on it. And, if you haven't gotten a mic yet, one, what are you doing in voiceover? And two, if you have a really lousy one and you want to try and move up at a great price point, try the VO1A over at VoiceOver Essentials, where you can get other great stuff. Plus, there's more.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other thing is it does include a lot of the accessories that a lot of mics don't come with. It actually includes a decent mic cable, because the company that makes this mic also owns Megami, that makes some of the best mic cables. So they give you a Megami mic cable. They give you a shock mount, plus another fixed non-shock mount, which might be better for travel. Right. And a carrying case. So, you really get a nice combination. And then if you really want it to be USB-ified, you can get it in a combo with the Mic Make Pro or the Mic Port Pro.
Right.
So I think the big difference between the two, the Mic Make Pro is a little bit more idiot-proof. And by idiot-proof, I mean there's no phantom power button on it, which is one of the things that gets forgotten all the time. When you plug in the Mic Make Pro, it just works because the phantom power is already on. There's no switch. And
yeah, the switch on the Mic Port Pro is like, I need a knitting needle.
Teeny little switch.
Hey, Johnny, show that case again with the mic and the shock mount really quick, would you?
That was Steve, I think, had that.
Oh, Steve had it?
We had one, too.
Show me.
Oh, did you?
John, I'm going to show it. Go ahead.
I'll show you what I did is just right there to the left of the mic, I took an X-Acto knife and carved out room to put my Mic Port Pro. So that I can have a little, they travel together very nicely.
Yeah,
there's a lot of room in there for extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What you do is you take your Mic Port Pro and you put a cigarette lighter underneath it.
Uh-huh.
And you heat it up and you put it in there.
Yeah, do not do a dance.
Even better. Do not try this at home.
I'm smoking too many Mic Port Pros now.
It's actually a really nice mic.
There's a Mic Port Pro in real life, just so you can see how big
Mic
it
Port
is.
Pro is great. It's a great little unit. But although I did save somebody from an icicle the other day.
Considering how cheap the blue icicle is, it's not horribly bad. It's actually, for its price, it's probably the best thing I've seen. But still, not my favorite.
Yeah. Well, I put him into a 2i2, so he'll thank
me. Good idea. The 2i2 is a good upgrade from those other all-in-one little tube devices, because if you're going to use it day in, day out, these little teeny knobs, the little tiny button on the bottom, not a lot of fun.
Out. Speaking of which.
And thank you. So are we done with Harlan? Are we going to say thank you?
I think we gave him his money's worth.
There you go, Harlan.
Yeah, thanks, Harlan.
I use his mic, too. That's a good mic. I use it, too.
Oh, you got it.
VoiceOverEssentials.com.
Thanks.
Speaking of Focusrite, I should have brought this one up before. Somebody said I have an iPad, and that's really what I want to record with. And I said, well, you ought to try this guy, the Focusrite iTrack Solo. And it works great. It's got one little drawback, and that is that it comes with this tiny little cable, so your iPad has to be, like, right next to it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There is an adapter for it, and I think if you actually register it when you buy it, they will send you the longer cable, because I think somebody in their design department wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
But as an interface to an iPod or an iPad or iPhone, you're going to get studio quality stuff out of an iPhone using this thing, and that makes it a great little road tool.
Speaking of that, a lot of us are traveling this week, whether it's Voice World in Toronto or
Segway Man.
Yeah.
Hey,
you're awesome.
That's right.
Go ahead and go.
Like butter.
That's right. Anything, George, Dan, anything to say about mobile rigs or recording on the road or anything that you think we should know about this week as a reminder? I know you've talked about it before, but.
Pack your studio suit.
Pack your studio suit and bring your ukulele. The acoustics. The problem on the road is acoustics, and you can and we say this over and over again because it's true. You can do auditions on the road. You can do individual if you're doing a 30-second spot. You can do that on the road. But you cannot continue a long-format project on the road from your original home studio. It's not going to happen. They're going to. Someone's going to notice. Even somebody who doesn't know what they're listening to is going, that sounds a lot different. I can hear the Coke machine. You know?
Oh, that too, yeah.
Yeah, so if you must travel and record on the road, try and keep it as minimal as possible, and don't record in the main room of your hotel room. Find a closet and get, you know, if they got nice duvets on the bed, put those in the corner. Do what you can to try and dampen in as small an area as possible. And that's my best tip for recording on the road. You know, although I remember staying in a hotel that had a bigger closet than the bedroom, which I thought was absolutely fascinating.
Get out of here.
No. And I'm like, again, I need duvets. This guy needs this thing. And I'm like, it actually worked pretty well. But
yeah, don't be afraid to call the front desk and have them send up extra blankets and duvets and get creative. Hang duvets from the garment rack hangers that are in your closet.
Right.
You know, one thing I've seen that's really cool is take the luggage rack, which almost even the crappiest hotels I've been to lately have had a luggage rack, you know, and sit that on the desk or on the bed and throw a blanket all the way over you and the luggage rack to create like a chamber in which to put the mic. Amazing how effective that little rig is.
Right, and we're developing one other thing. Yeah, we're developing one other thing too. It's the portable studio suit, which, you know, it works pretty well as a dampening device. This is just a 2x3 sheet. You probably can't even hear me. It works so well.
It stopped a lot of sound.
What was that? Wait, what was that? What did you hear?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. But something like that will reduce down in a vacuum bag to like nothing. It'll just throw right into your suitcase, and you find the right spot if you understand where the right place to put it is, and put it into a parabolic behind your mic, and it actually is pretty amazing for what it is. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, George, you've got a voiceover extra webinar coming up soon, don't you? On iPad recording, something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Signal
Segue? Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. There's
okay.
One,
yeah.
I'm going to do one on iPad recording and how to make an iPad work in a travel situation and when you're trying to read scripts at the same time and switch back and forth and all that stuff. It's also going to be a lot about what you can't do with an iPad, which some people aren't going to want to hear that, but. You know, I think it's important. I talked to somebody last night at the at Ann's event, the VO Peeps thing, and she's like, "I just spent $800 on an Apogee mic and an iPad, and you're telling me I can't record and send my audition to voices.com with Twisted Wave?" And I said, "No, you can't." So I'll be explaining, you know, why those things don't work. I'll be talking about what sandboxing is. I'll just kind of give you a really firm idea of what can and can't be done with an iPad so that if you haven't gone that route yet, you'll know what to expect. If you have gone that route yet, how to get the most out of it. And, you know, it's my two cents, at least, on, you know, what you can and can't do. And I'll be demonstrating it live during the webinar.
And one of the best thing rigs is, you know, going back to Harlan as a porta booth, with a 416, which is what it was initially designed for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Harlan used it. A lot of people, just throw, you know, a condenser mic in there. It will work. But, you know, with the porta booth pro or the porta booth plus, if you have a 416, that really is the way to go with that. And that does a really good job of, you know, having a nice road unit.
Yeah, I would say go with a porta booth. If you do try, if you're a real road warrior, and you really like consistency and you like having something that you can set up every time and you know it's a known quantity. The Portabooth Pro, the one thing that really sets it apart, which obviously you could rig this up on your own, but it does have a hood, you know, you can throw over your back. And I was amazed at actually how effective that little piece of fabric was at dampening some of the echo in the room. It was pretty surprisingly effective at that. So,
yeah. Dave, you're on the road all the time. Every day.
What?
Yeah, there's a fire in Henderson. There's, you know, Red Rock Canyon has collapsed. I mean, you're, you know, what,
You know, the iPhone can come in pretty handy if you've got the Tascam or any number of attachments now that are out. But what you said is true. You can't expect to get that the same quality from that as you have from your studio if you're doing a long format. Hey, down boy. I'm still, when I go on the road, I still use my Zoom H4n. It's tops, and you can plug an XLR mic into it and use it as an interface for your laptop with a USB. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can use it.
That's really versatile, that thing. Do you use it with its built-in mic, or do you use it with your travel with a 416?
I've done both, and the built-in mic's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did a e-learning module on the road once with it, and the guy never knew the difference.
Nice.
Knowing who your client is definitely if you're ever wondering what you can get away with, you really have to know your client. You know, I would definitely not want my first impression with a new client to have to be something that would be compromised. But if you know your client, you know what they need to be able to get the job done and make the job happen, and you can do it with some less than ideal equipment, that just shows your versatility, you know, as a voice talent and as an engineer. So
yeah,
that doesn't hurt.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Any other topics? We got about 10 minutes left here before I start getting dirty looks.
I had a recording on the road kind of issue, and Dan actually helped me out with this a few weeks ago. I recorded a few weeks ago. I went up to the UPA. In Canada, not Canada, just south of Canada, Michigan. The week after that, I went to Canada. I had a long course, e-learning course come in, and there just happened to be a recording studio in this tiny little town I was in. And I went there and I put headphones on, and I knew I could hear the room. And I said to the engineer, I don't know. I'm hearing too much of the room here. This is not good. Oh, it won't be there. Don't worry. It won't be there. Guess what? It was there. And of course, you know, when you're doing like a 35-minute module, there's bound to be a little correction here or there. And so like I had to do pickups on it, and we actually had to add reverb. I was at Dan's house actually, and we're recording this stuff. I'm like, dude, we got to make this match up. And Dan did a wonderful job matching it, by the way. But we actually had to add reverb to make it sound like this guy's freaking huge room. It was just like another lesson. Like, don't do that. I should have just told him, look, wait a day and then I can get it to you. But I was trying to be, you know, super accommodating and all that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I thought I was getting a good room. I was paying for studio time, but.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
That's
and
the
I
irony.
I didn't charge you damn near enough.
No, you didn't. But I did buy you coffee.
That's true. You did.
I did buy you coffee.
Here's a question from Karen, Karen O'Brien. I have a weird question. Should I vacuum off my mic to get stray dust, pet hair, et cetera, out of the grill? Or is that a horrible idea?
That's not a good idea. George, I'll let you take that one since you're really more the technician end. But I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I think it depends on the vacuum cleaner. I think if it's a really strong, powerful vacuum cleaner, it may not be a good idea because it could possibly damage the diaphragm. I think if you use one of those drapery heads, you know, that has a little brush on it, that doesn't allow the end of the vacuum to suck up against the mic too tightly.
The official Diane Merritt screen.
There you go. Possibly just brushing the grill off is probably, you know, maybe the best way to go. I would tread very lightly on the vacuuming thing. It's likelihood of damaging the mic is pretty high depending on what kind of mic you have. In the same way that you wouldn't go into the mic that much, vacuuming is the same thing in reverse. So, you
know. What about thumping the mic?
Oh, you mean like, is this thing on?
This thing on?
Yeah.
Everybody's
is that hard on a mic?
Yeah, that's really bad on a mic.
Engineers love that when you do that.
One of the tips I always mention, if you're trying to figure out is the mic on, the engineer will love you if you just gently scratch the mic with your fingertip. Just ever so lightly scratch it. If you do that, they will know you're a professional. They'll know that you've worked with other engineers because that's what they're going to tell you to do. It works great in your own home studio, or even more so if you're traveling. Am I using the mic on my MacBook Or am I using the studio mic?
The mic.
Which people mess that up all the time. So scratch the grill of the studio mic, and if the waveform doesn't jump up and down, you know, it's the wrong mic. So,
yeah. Hey, dinner bell's calling. I got to bow out, guys. Good,
right,
good to spend time with you.
Dave, gracias. Nice to see you.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Anything else
popping up? James mentioned another type of product for traveling called the carry-on vocal booth, the COVB. It looks like they may be selling it over at voiceacting.com. He put a link in the chat room saying that, there's a link to it from Voice Acting. It's called the Carry-On Vocal Booth Pro from Vocal Booth to Go.
I wonder what the material is in that.
That's the one made by the guys.
The Audio Mute thing?
The Vocal Booth to Go guy? Remember the guy at Voice 2012?
Yeah, it was made with Audio Mute, which is essentially moving blankets.
It's essentially moving blankets. I think they may bolster them in some way. I don't know what they do, but it's in essence a more heavy duty. Here you go, Dan. You got to look at this Vocal Booth to Go product, and then you got to make one that out of your blankets and see if you can make your own version.
I got hangers.
But anyway.
James is saying no, it's Producer's Choice Sound Blankets, not Audio Mute. Better blankets than Audio Mute.
There you go. It's another company, Producer's Choice. So, this thing is basically a Portabooth Pro-shaped device made with these blankets. I would venture to guess it would work very well. James Alberger's in the chat room. He's saying it does work really well. So there you go. Another way of traveling. And this thing's running in the $300 ballpark. You can get it directly from voiceacting.com. They got a link right on the front page. So voiceacting.com.
Yeah. Susan's asking a really good question here. Should your stacks change? I'm guessing your effect stacks. Should those change when you change out your microphone?
Well, it certainly depends on how severely different the microphone is. Some mics are not that different, sounding. Mm-hmm. But yeah, your likelihood of needing to adjust anything but EQ is you're probably not going to have to do much other than tweak the EQ maybe a little bit. If you're using a noise gate, you may have to tweak the noise gate
just a tad bit.
Yeah, but you may not have to do very much if you change mics. It really does depend on how different the mic is,
That's one of the things I love about Twisted Wave is you can save those stacks like that. And I have different stacks depending on which mic I'm using.
Sure, and I also make travel stacks and home stacks for people that do travel a lot. Or I say, when you get to the hotel, send me a sound file, and I'll make a stack that deals with that particular room's problems, Dan, what do you do when you travel? Do you do much processing?
I'm using Adobe Audition, and there are certain things I will do. But if I'm on the road and I'm cutting an audition on the road, I generally will try and send it as raw as possible. Mm. Because generally it's for e-learning stuff. If it's a commercial, I might pump it up a little bit. But I don't have my studio monitors. I cannot honestly reproduce the sound of what my studio is going to sound like anywhere else but in my studio.
Sure.
And so I'm not going to, and because I don't have my monitors, I'm not even going to have a really good idea of what it's actually sounding like when it gets to whoever's going to listen to it, because we don't know what they're listening to it on. If I know it sounds good coming out of my monitors in my studio, I know that it's going to sound okay somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so I generally am very, very shy about doing stuff on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. When I'm on vacation, I'm supposed to be with my family by the pool. But if I have to travel, if I don't want to get dirty looks, it's like, okay, we'll go, that sort of thing. Of course, the funniest one though is when you're under the covers and it's like, what are you doing under the acoustics under here are fabulous. So
it's 120 degrees, but it sounds great.
But listen, I just made $150 here, so it's...
Most people don't know the human body generates about 100 watts
of
energy. Surely. And so if you're under a blanket, it's like being under there with a 100-watt light bulb.
Yeah. You can only guess the look on her face as I came back up, though. So anyway, woo! I think that pretty much wraps it up for tonight.
Yeah, I think
it's great. We've had a great crowd in the chat room. You guys will listen. This was a great hangout. This was great.
It was. This is one of the best by far. So
this was our best ever.
Thanks for making it a fun hangout, everybody.
Yeah, and I'm glad everybody showed up in on Ustream and in the chat room, and I'd like to thank everybody who joined us: Steve Tardio, John Calvadeus.
Think Amadeus, right?
What's next week, guys?
Next week, I believe, is Bob with us next week?
No, next week is May 5th, right? So May 5th would be, I think that's
Cinco de Mayo.
Rick Wasserman.
Rick Wasserman is going to join
Rick
us next
Wasserman,
week.
Who is a voice actor here, has been the voice of AMC Network for a good 7 years. So he'll talk about what it takes to be one, to do it that long, and
Mad Men,
why it may not be the best thing for your career at the same time, you know, the yin and the yang of being the voice of a network. So
that's right.
So that should be interesting. Yeah.
Who else? Those of us that are at FAF Camp, we will salute you.
Yes, and I will be at Voice World, which will be lots of fun. So that was a good one, Anthony.
Yeah. You can.
So much for your detail. I want to put a little damp. Yeah.
I'm looking at the rest of the lineup here from the last. I forgot to load the show notes this episode. Anthony Mendez. He was rescheduled to May 12th. That should be cool.
Okay.
Looking forward to having him. Bob Sauer, May 19th. And another Google Hangout to wrap out May. So and we're going to have a very special guest host, I think, on May 5th. Right, Dan?
Probably. We'll see. Yeah, I'm doing a show.
So we're gonna have a backup guest. We're gonna have a backup guest host to be on the ready in case Dan can't make it back in time from his rehearsal.
Right.
So
I probably be easy to guess who it is, but you know. Anyway, so that's gonna wrap it up for us tonight. And thanks everybody for joining us, Anthony, Frank, for all your help over there on the far left side of the bar there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back next week. And have a great week.
Thanks.
Do what you need to do. What?
Yeah, I was just going to thank everybody. I got the acknowledgments right here. I got to thank our wives. Always need to thank our wives.
Thank the dogs. Thank the dogs for not barking. Just not Corvo's.
Yeah. Corvo's didn't get the memo.
Yeah, he didn't get the memo.
Kathy Curran has been helping with production and booking our guests. Anthony is in the chat room tonight. He's been helping us with he's in the hangout. He's been helping us with chat room questions and moderating.
Right.
Jason Lawson with our show notes.
Lee Penny, who's helping us get that podcast on there. Any luck with that yet?
No, he's done very well. In fact, it's pretty well up to date. I think he may have to catch up on the last two episodes, but up to episode 89, I think, is available right now.
Outstanding.
And,
so big shout out to Lee for doing that
right.
for us.
And Larry, who was in the room earlier, chat in the group before, Larry Hudson and Sylvia, has cut some drop-ins for us, as well as Larry Davis and his lovely fiance Elizabeth, Rosemary Benson. They've made some bumpers and drops. So we've had a lot of people helping out. We really appreciate everybody that contributes to the show, as well as all the donors that donate to the show as well. It's just so helpful.
Absolutely.
We all were watching a Ustream last night, you know, that Ann was doing, and getting a taste of what it's like when those Ustream ads pop up.
We're hearing great voiceover, but they're national ads that have nothing to do with what's going on.
Right. You could say it's a good lesson in some voiceover, right? But other than that, it's horribly frustrating. Yeah. So your donations and the sponsors are eliminating those national ads on Ustream. So when you guys are watching it live, you can see it uncut top to bottom. So
only the ads you want to see.
Right. Hopefully you want to see. So thanks for those donations. If you're on our website right now watching it, they're up above us there. There's a donate button. And you can find that anytime at ewabs.com. Just click on the donate button, and any little bit of money
it's right up
you
there.
Can part yourself with is helpful. So thanks again, everybody.
That's right. All right. So that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
Together, we are East West Audio Body Shop.
Nicely done.
That wasn't even close.
No, it's not close on your end, but on my end, it was perfect. Money. Yeah.
Alrighty. All right. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Take care, everybody. Thanks for
Bye.
Thanks for the hangout, guys.